Welcome to OperaVore, where opera is always on the menu. Today's special, Soprano to Soprano with Diana Domrau. I'm Debbie Voigt. I'm really excited to be sitting with Diana Domrau today. We've had an opportunity to sing together a couple of times, and I love being on stage with her, but at the same time, I feel like she steals the show every time we have her out there. It's true, Diana, it's true.
Oh, no.
So I wanted to talk about the very beginning of your career and let our listeners hear a little bit about how Diana Domrau came to be this magnificent star that we know today. Did you come from a musical family?
Not in really direct connection, but yes, we have musicians in our family, but actually I grew up with no contact to them. My grandfather, he loved opera. My grandmother had a super voice, but I think she could have become a singer, but after the war, there was no question at all to take this path. But we had a piano, and the cousin of my mom, she was opera singer in the chorus of the Gärtnerplatz Theater in Munich. And when she and her husband, who was solo dancer, ballet dancer from the Bayerische Staatsoper, when they came to see us, it was like Christmas and birthday and everything together, because there was life in the house and acting and funny faces and dancing, moving. It was incredible.
Later, a wonderful foundation for you learning to be the complete artist that you are today. I can just see you pirouetting around the living room. There are many different ways to build a career, and yours included a lot of fest positions where you spend time with one theater and you sing many different roles. In your case, a lot of musicals and operettas. Do you think that this is an important step in building your career, or would you, looking back, prefer to have done fewer roles but maybe more important ones that you would do later on in your life and spend the rest of your career singing?
No, I think I was really, really lucky. Also, next to these light operetta and musical was actually only two. It was Sweeney Todd and My Fair Lady. I started actually my first fixed contract as Eliza Doolittle.
Oh my goodness!
Yes, and then I sang
my favorite musical.
It's wonderful. It was that was really one of the best times I had on stage. I was scared to death to me as a trained coloratura soprano coming from just being high and careful with the voice, having to scream the first part.
Now, remind
of
me,
Eliza.
Where was this?
In Würzburg.
And auf Deutsch.
Auf Deutsch, ja, auf
Deutsch,
Berlinerisch.
Oh, Berlinerisch.
Yeah, yeah.
Your Met debut as Zerbinetta, what do you remember about that experience?
That was out of this world. It was actually, I knew Zerbinetta by then, really having done two productions with this character and this crazy singing, and I concentrated, I went on stage, we had a lot of fun, and I think I got the greatest applause I've ever received in my whole career.
Oh, wonderful.
I was sitting on that chair, and it didn't stop, and I didn't know what to do. It was just, I can't believe I'm at the Met, and they like it.
And I can guarantee you that your Ariadne was sitting in her dressing room saying, when are they going to stop clapping for her? You also had some historical performances at the Met when you took on both Pamina and the Queen of the Night in the same run.
Oh, well, that was actually not planned, because the Met released me for my last two Paminas to do very important concerts in Europe. And they finally didn't take place.
Oh, no.
So I asked, may I have my
Can
Paminas
I come back?
Back, please? And they said, nope, gone. But you can sing the Queen of the Night if you want.
What is it that you enjoy the most about the Queen of the Night? Or do you anymore?
No, her personality and the ferocious singing and the mad scene, which is mad scene. It's almost a mad scene. This the second aria, the Hölle Rache, when it's a state of mind and of energy, of demonic energy. And you know me as always the la la la. I have to be the cute and the nice and the sweet and the girl and being a ferocious mother in connection with the dark forces. I adored that. You know, probably when I was a child in kindergarten and carnival, I wanted to be the mean stepmother, not the princess.
You are often praised for your acting abilities. Would you consider yourself to be a singing actor or a singer who knows how to act?
I think I'm a singing actor because everything you do on stage and everything you express with your voice has to come out of a situation. So I'm aware always of the acting and of the feeling in the body of the character I present. And out of this comes the music and the singing.
Would you ever sacrifice a beautiful sound for a dramatic effect? Would you? Would you? I'm just curious. Well, I guess I'll have to after
depends.
This. Okay.
It depends.
All right, okay.
But what is important is that the moment and the feeling comes through the voice. And I think, yes, sometimes you have to sacrifice and use colors to show. And I always use colors. I don't like singing with only one color. Because with one word, let's take the German language. With one word, you have five words which express approximately the same, but one word which really matches the feeling in that moment. And that's what you have to do with the voice as well. The color should express the feeling of that moment. And yeah.
I wonder what colors Diana Damrau will have on her palette next season when she does Manon for the first time at the Met. I can't wait. Ever wonder what Diana Damrau and Ethel Merman have in common? You'll find out when our conversation continues in a minute. If you'd like to find out more about the music you're hearing today, go to wqxr.org/opravore. You're listening to Opravore from WQXR. Welcome back. I'm Debbie Voigt. My guest today is soprano Diana Damrau. Strauss, of course, is having a big anniversary this year. It's the 150th anniversary. What makes his writing for women in particular so wonderful to sing and to interpret?
I think he knows everything about women and the female voice. His wife, he was a singing teacher as well. He taught his wife how to sing, and she was a dramatic soprano. I think that's why we have a lot of repertoire for dramatic soprano there.
You might be right.
And beautiful orchestra songs. And it just shows every ability the female voice has, that you have the high notes, the floating, and the pianissimi in the high register, but also the strength and the elegance and the Schwung, we say.
Schwung, it's a good word. The swing.
Yeah.
The movement through the phrase.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned
special Strauss movement.
You mentioned his songs, and you have done a recording called Poesie with the Munich Philharmonic with Christian Thielemann conducting. Do you have a favorite?
My favorite Strauss song is Morgen.
Mm. Yeah. Have you listened to other women interpret that piece?
Oh, yes, a lot. And I kept my hands off that song a long time.
Why? Was someone out there intimidating you?
No, but it's such a, it has such a universe of feeling and knowledge of life experience in this song that me feeling myself still like being a girl, I thought I might not be able to express this and people won't get it, and I wanted to be really ready.
That's really wonderful insight, because I think oftentimes young people look at Morgan and they think it's such a simple little piece of music. And on paper, that is what it looks like, but that is certainly not what the context of the piece is. You have made a recording of all Liszt songs. And we usually think of Liszt as a composer for flamboyant piano pieces. How did you decide to do this particular CD?
I adore voices and I love to search for unknown things. And then a person like Liszt, who was one of the greatest stars in his time, traveling the world as an artist. It was rare, and who had really insight in a lot of things people in his time didn't. And also important musician, because with him, the music of the 20th century really started also to develop. So I was interested because of all of these things in his music. And I heard his songs first from Kathleen Battle and Barbara Hendricks. And I fell in love with the French songs, and I wanted to sing them right away. So but I had to wait a little bit to be technically really prepared. What I found out, singing these songs by Liszt, they are very difficult to interpret. You have to be really honest and clean and know what to do in every moment. The songs by Liszt are, well, difficult also in a lot of senses. Vocally, when we take the Petrarca sonnets, for instance, you have to have an opera voice. You have to have an opera-trained voice with a wide range and a lot of possibilities, like the bel canto singing has with Messa di Voce, with dynamics and great instrumental artistry. But also, some of these songs are very pure, are very very, very different from each other. It's like jumping really from one composer to the next. that was an interesting journey.
This week has been Diana Damrau week in my Ford Fusion as I've been driving around town, because I have had your latest CD, Forever. These are unforgettable songs from Vienna, Broadway, and Hollywood. I noticed that especially at the end of I'm in Love with a Wonderful Guy, because the belting is incredible. You sound like a little Ethel Merman.
Thank you.
How did that feel vocally?
It was fun. Well, I thought I just go for it. I tried to remember what I had learned for Eliza Doolittle, which was, it's a bit lower in key, but I was just inspired also because I saw South Pacific about five times here on Broadway
and Kelly O'Hara.
Yes,
she's wonderful.
And she's absolutely incredible, and I love the character and especially that song, and I thought I'll try it. I'll be never as good. It'll be Diana, but anyway, I want to sing this.
Opervore comes from WQXR in New York and is supported in part by the Thompson Family Foundation and the Monteforti Foundation. It's produced by Elaine Warner with Bill Bowen and Jessica Kiger. I'm Debbie Voigt. Thank you for listening.